This is Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Ashley Thornburg in studio with Director of Radio, Bill Thomas. Bill, thanks for joining us today.
Sure.
Director of Radio is your title here, but at a recent event in Bismarck, your title was judge. You were one of the judges at the State Poetry Out Loud competition.
Yes, I've done it for several years, and it's intense. It's interesting. It's you really have to pay attention.
What kind of changes have you seen over the years, would you say?
Well, it's gotten a little bigger over the years. You know, it's gotten up and down some, but generally has been tending to a few more schools participating because it's not, you know, it's not totally easy for the schools in terms of they have so many curriculum requirements, and this is kind of an on top of kind of thing. So there's got to be a teacher that really wants to do it, and the teachers play a big role in this. And I would say the quality of the performance has gone up. You know, there used to be some kids who you go, well, you know, it's great that they tried, but that really wasn't very good, you know. And there's just not anybody like that anymore. You know,
they're all
doing really credible readings. I say readings, recitations of the poems.
Would you say that you've seen any kind of a trend in what types of poems the students are trending towards?
Well, so they pick their poems out of a selection that the Poetry Foundation offers. You can go on the Poetry Foundation website and see, and there's like 1,500 poems. I mean, it's a lot that they offer because they have to get the rights to use them in the contest. They can't just pick any random poem. And they do ask that the students do one poem that is from before 1900. And so you know, there's certain patterns. There are certain poems that get picked a lot because they're fun to read, or you know, they just there's something catchy about them, and they rotate a few poems in and out as years go by. I would say, I really liked the selection of poems this year that the students chose to read.
Well, stop teasing us. Let's hear some.
Okay. Well, we're going to hear one. It's kind of a formal structure on this one. It's rhymes, which not all poems do anymore. Stevie Smith is the poet who wrote it, and it's read by Abby Woollett of Ray High School.
Do Not by Stevie Smith. Do not despair a man, and do not scold him. Who are you that should so lightly hold him? Are you not also a man? And in your heart, are there not warlike thoughts and fear and smart? Do you not think of yourself as usual, faint for ambition, desire to be loved, pricked at virtuous thought and by beauty moved? You love your wife, you hold your children dear. Then say not that man is vile, but say they are. But they are not, and so is your judgment shown presumptuous, false, quite vain. Merely your own sadness at failed ambition set outside, made a philosophy of, prinked, beautified in noble dress, and sent to run with the ill it most pretends to rout. Oh, know your own heart. That heart's not wholly evil. And, from the particular judge the general, if judge you must, but with compassion see life, or else of yourself despairing, flee strife.
Yeah, not a cheerful one exactly, but kind of hopeful.
Not a lot of poems are.
Oh, there's some
fun
ones.
And
it was interesting because she kind of the poet partook of the romantic diction. She used even old words like prinked and so on in there. And in reading it, it swerves back and forth between kind of a modern voice and sort of an older voice.
Did the students at all say why they chose the poems that they did?
I only got to talk to one student about that,
okay.
But
they don't say that in their introduction. I like this poem because.
Nope, they just say the name of the poem and the poet, and then they go ahead and recite it. They have it memorized, and they are rated on their one of the big factors in judging is their understanding of the poem that they evidence in the way that they say it. So they have to pay attention to what the poem means.
Does that mean that you need to know all of these poems too in advance?
Yes, as a judge, you have to study through the poems in advance. And it's very interesting because I've gotten a little used to it, so it doesn't surprise me as much as it used to. But you read them all on the page, and when you get here and you hear people reading them out loud, it really does change them. It's such a different experience to hear them read out loud by somebody who's really paid attention to the words.
Yeah. I think that would help me. Yeah. I have a feeling I would understand them quite a bit better. What else caught your ear?
Okay. Well, this is not a cheerful one either. Sorry. This is by a romantic poet, an English romantic poet, who died quite young of tuberculosis. He died at 25, but he made a big impact. This is read by Myra Osborne, who is from the Minot Magic City campus.
When I Have Fears That I May Cease to Be, by John Keats. When I have fears that I may cease to be, before my pen has gleaned my teeming brain, before high-piled books in charactery hold like rich garners the full ripened grain, when I behold upon the night's starred face huge cloudy symbols of a high romance, and think that I may never live to trace their shadows with the magic hand of chance. And when I feel, fair creature of an hour, that I shall never look upon thee more, never have relish in the fairy power of unreflecting love, then on the shore of the wide world I stand alone and think, till love and fame to nothingness do sink.
Yeah, you get a sense of the anger that would come along with knowing you're about to die in your 20s, and obviously this student not in similar circumstances.
No, she was quite healthy. And as a matter of fact, in a couple of minutes we'll hear another one by her that has quite a different take on the world, a different angle, though it's mordant and a little satiric as well. But first, I thought it'd be interesting. One of the other judges was Shad Peel, and he's the only one of the judges who is a poet. He's a published poet and recognized.
Can they perform his work?
He is not in the list, but after we had this interview, we talked a little bit, and he said, like, yeah, I kind of like to look into getting on the list. So, you'll hear what we talked about.
You know what I wanted to ask you, so of all the judges, you're the one who is a poet. And as you are watching and listening to these students reciting the works of poets, what does it mean to a poet to have, you know, usually you write your work, you print it, you see it out there, maybe you recite it yourself. This is like a different circumstance.
It really is, but I think that although poems exist on the page, they're meant to be heard. And I think for any poet, the sound of the words is where the poem lies. And so I think having other people recite your work, it would be, you know, like having people cover your songs. It's a real honor. And I really am looking for, in judging, those students who really seem to understand the flow and the sound of those words and how to impart meaning through that. This last poet was reciting a sonnet, you know, and a sonnet is a very structured piece, but she was putting her emphasis and I think her pauses in the right places through, you know, to really kind of capture that rhythm, that sound of the iambic pentameter, which is what it was. And I think it overall, it just enhanced the mood, the feeling, the meaning of that poem.
I
was impressed.
Yeah. Would you worry like, oh man, they could really screw up my poem?
You know, I think they really could, but but it's, you know, it's meant to be shared. It's meant to be heard. And I think even if even if they don't nail it, there's still value there. And I think any poet would be honored to have their poems recited in a competition like this.
Yeah. I wonder how often they get to hear it.
Probably not too often. I don't know that poets get a chance to really hear their poems recited or read by someone else. That's a good question, you know, but I would think that some of these poets would be very pleased to hear that, and to hear that for some of them 100 years plus later, or some of them, you know, 10 years later.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So that was fellow Judge Shad Peel. And, you know, Bill, it strikes me he talked in there about musicians and people playing covers of their songs. And sometimes you can hear a dramatically different version or interpretation of that song. And I'm thinking of, like, the first time I heard the Guess Who's American Woman, you know, a 1960s era anti-war song. And then I heard it one time covered like a beatnik poem, and there were just a lot of snapping, and I was like, what is this? Have you, as a judge, ever heard a dramatic reinterpretation of
yes.
a poem?
Yes, and many poems do get repeated. Oftentimes, in one year, in one competition, there may be one year, I think there were three students who picked the same poem to perform. And you certainly hear some poems repeated year after year, and they are performed quite differently often. I will say Poetry Out Loud doesn't encourage a real actorly kind of presentation. So, you know, it's not that one will shout and gesticulate and another will be real quiet and mousy.
Interpretive dance or anything.
Yeah, no, you don't do that. The focus is on the poetry. Yet, they can be quite different poems in the handling of different students working on them.
So your style as a judge, are you kind of a traditionalist? Or if you hear three different versions of the same poem, do you have a set of criteria that you sort of weigh against for which one of these?
Well, no, not usually. There are, you know, sometimes this year there was somebody did some Shakespeare, and Shakespeare, there is a performing convention or tradition with Shakespeare that you can measure against. But a lot of these poems, the only place I've ever heard them performed is at Poetry Out Loud. And so all I have to compare them to are other high school students from North Dakota doing them.
Well, let's hear another high school
student. Okay, well, this is actually the same one that we heard before the interview with Shad Peel. I thought it'd be interesting to hear her again doing a very different style of poem. This one, I think most people know the kid's story, Where the Wild Things Are.
Marie Sunda.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, keep that in mind.
Where the Wild Things Go by Dee Gilson. The night Max wore his wolf suit made him infamous. Bred the child star never sent to bed. Middle school, Max started drinking. Not in my house, his mother begged. No, 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 wild thing. Max reminded her, who bought this condo? Who paid for her meds? Freshman year, Max raved, roared his terrible roar, rolled, and almost wound up in a warehouse, dead. Where, oh, where do the wild things go? To rehab, in high school, to college on residual book sales. Max kept his head down, laughed at drunken frat boys. Bro, let the wild rumpus start. Max said, no thanks, and volunteered for the Peace Corps instead. 2 years in Kenya, one in Belarus, and the president thought Max might be of some use. Max moved to Washington, appointed at the State Department a cultural attaché. One important day, Max wore his wolf gray suit and drove home well past rush hour in a freak snowstorm. Max drove on the deserted beltway, thought it his throne. Yes, Max belted, this is where the wild things roam.
Wow. I am babysitting my nephew tomorrow, and I have a vinyl recording of Where the Wild Things Are, and I don't think I will be able to listen to it the same ever again. That is really, I love the way that some people think so differently. It never would have occurred to me to ask a follow-up question about what happens to Max in that book.
The poet, if you forgot from the intro, is Dee Gilson, and that was a new one this year. Yeah. I had not heard that poem before.
Okay. So. Well, last week we heard from the winner, Maria Kalb, right? And we have another selection from her.
Yeah, this is a very thoughtful poem, and after she gives it to us, we'll get to hear her talk about how she studied it.
Burning in the Rain by Richard Blanco. Someday, compassion would demand I set myself free of my desire to recreate my father, indulge in my mother's losses, strangle lovers with words, forcing them to confess for me and take the blame. Today was that day. I tossed them sheet by sheet on the patio and gathered them into a pyre. I wanted to let them go in a blaze. Tiny white dwarfs imploding beside the azaleas and ficus bushes. Let them crackle, burst like winged seeds. Let them smolder into gossamer embers. 1,000 gray butterflies in the wind. Today was that day, but it rained, kept raining, instead of fire, water. Drops knocking on doors, wetting windows into mirrors, reflecting me in the oaks. The garden walls and stones swelling into ghostlier shades of themselves. The wind chimes giggling in the storm. A coffee cup left overflowing with rain. Instead of burning, my pages turned into water lilies floating over puddles, then tiny white cliffs as the sun set, finally drying all night under the moon into papier-mâché souvenirs. Today, the rain would not let their lives burn.
That one deals with fate in its like own little way. So all that angst that was being felt by this person was written down on sheets of paper, and his way of getting rid of that angst and I guess going through his own emotions was to burn it. But of course, something just had to ruin it and get in the way, and it was raining that day. So it kind of explains how even those little sheets of paper had fates of their own, and yeah, it's a part of us. Those sheets of paper were a part of this person, and they had their own fate.
That's really insightful.
Yeah.
Bill Thomas, director of radio here at Prairie Public, and recently served as judge for this year's Poetry Out Loud competition. And we will be playing more excerpts from Poetry Out Loud in the coming weeks. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks.
Dakota Datebook is next.